After Yeshua was born in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, during the time when Herod was king, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard of this, he became very agitated, and so did everyone else in Jerusalem. He called together all the head Kohanim and Torah teachers of the people and asked them, "Where will the Messiah be born?" "In Bethlehem of Judah," they replied, "because the prophet wrote, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Who are these Magi from the east? We've seen movies like, you know, where they portray them as Indians with turbans from the Arabian Peninsula, and some even with Oriental Magi. But actually they were Zoroastrian astrologists, Persians from Iran. These astrologists were highly regarded in that era. They were regarded as the scientists of the day because they were their advice from looking at the stars led kings to make decisions. God used the language of the unbelievers to reveal the good news. For we saw this star in the east and have come to worship him, they said. Amen. We don't know how many Magi there were, but these were the ones that responded to God's revelation of his salvation plan. After Herod's death, an angel of Adonai appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to Israel, Eretz Israel, for those who wanted to kill the child are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went back to Eretz Israel. When Herod died, the angel instructed Joseph to return to the Holy Land, the land of Israel.
Amen.
He couldn't go back to Bethlehem because he thought there would be dangers lurking there. Joseph had previously come from Nazareth. So really, Jesus lived in a town like Mansfield. When I first started working at Queen's Medical Center, people used to ask me, "So you travel all the way? Where do you travel from?" And I said, "From Mansfield." "Oh, you don't want to live in Mansfield. Come and live in Nottingham." I said, "Why?" He said, "Oh, very, very, the reputation of Mansfield, murder, crime, and violence." But that's not true. I've lived here so many years now, almost 30 years. It's not true. There's more crime in Nottingham. But you see, Mansfield had a reputation. It's very unlike that of Nazareth. Nazareth had a reputation. So what good can come out of Mansfield? What good did come out of Nazareth? So we know a little bit about the background of that passage and a little bit about the background of all these characters involved. The Magi were pagans. They were believers in stars, in systems. They believed in the signs of the stars. They were astrologists. The Jews would have considered them devil worshippers. But God chose them. He revealed to them his plan for the earth. Not only that, these Magi responded to God's revelation of his plan. They were intrigued. They were piqued. They knew something big was happening. And these, I don't know how many they were, but these were the ones who followed up. We have amongst us in Mansfield our friends, our neighbors, those who work with us, our colleagues, Hindus, Muslims, atheists, agnostics, pagan worshippers. I've got two people in my little casualty bit that worship white witchery. And how have we interacted with these people? Do we get to know them? Have we given them the opportunity to experience the living hope that we have in our lives? This Christmas, good news is for everyone. And you know, like the star that took the Zoroastrians to Jesus, we are the message bearers of the good news today. We bear tidings of good news like the angels in the Christmas story. We are the bright and shining star that will lead lives to this baby that changed our lives. By following that star, the Magi found the gift of salvation. The star was unique, bright, and different from other stars. That's why it stood out to them. That's why it became a message. It appealed and intrigued the Magi. It led them to the promise of a new and more wonderful future. I had a friend by the name of Saktivel. He was my best friend when I was growing up. I think I've said that before in a sermon about Saktivel. But he was a Hindu. And when I became a Christian around that time, he saw changes in my life. We were very close. We did everything together. We even went around the woods to learn karate. And I left for theological college, and very soon after that, I heard that Saktivel became a Christian. Not only that, except for his father, all his family became Christians. He's now serving in the Methodist Church in Kuala Lumpur. So if you want to go and visit him, his name is Saktivelu. And how did this happen? It didn't just happen because I told him about Jesus and I left it there. It took place because we had a relationship. He knew me. He knew how I lived. He knew how Jesus changed my life. And it kind of like wasn't just a message given to him. It was an interaction. It was a relationship that gave him the opportunity to learn about Jesus. The duty of the star was to point toward the unfolding story of God's salvation plan. The star did its duty. It intrigued the Magi, as we said before, and they followed the star. And when they got there, that star gave them joy. Not because the star was the joy, that star led them to where they were, and because they were there, they had the end point where they met this baby that was going to be king. They were filled with joy. The messenger led them to the promise of a new king. When we obey Jesus, we too may provide joy to those around us. They too may share in the promise of life. Relationships are key to the message of hope to be effective in changing lives. The star was special. It behaved differently, was purposeful, had a certain intrigue. It was bright, it outshone all the other stars. It led, it gave direction. It physically moved the Magi to the ultimate destination of promise. Our duty as Christians to be guides to those who are lost and needy. We can only do so by getting into relationship with others, getting involved in their lives, being with them, suffering with them, encouraging them, sharing with them. We can be, and understandably so, busy with our own worries, our own problems, our own difficulties in life. It can be work-based, it can be home-based. But our duty is to be the guide to those who are lost out there and who are in need.
Amen.
We sometimes neglect our spiritual duties for our earthly ones. And like I said, it's understandable. All of us do this. Me in particular. It's very hard to preach. Because when you preach, God tells you that you are doing something wrong and you've got to tell everybody else. Everybody will be going, does he? The gifts that the Magi brought were not only symbolic, but it provided for Jesus' mission. Our gift to Jesus must be our lives, to provide for his missions around where we are. And remember, Jesus was a refugee. And on the day he was born, he slept rough. Amongst us today, we encounter people in this predisposition. Whether it is their own fault or not their own fault, they are struggling. God's response to us is quite clear. Those who visited this baby, this refugee, this rough sleeper, gave him gifts to provide him physically. They gave what they could. As children of God, we too must do more to help those in this predicament. The alternative is just to ignore them. That was the response of the other Magi, those who ignored the signs and did not visit the new king. That was the response of the others who saw these same signs. They ignored the urge to do anything. That was the response of the scholars in Jerusalem. They didn't want to have anything to do with it, except give the king what he wanted. I'm not talking about baby king. I'm talking about Herod the king, the great. And remember when I started off, I said that I met this chap who was homeless. I felt so bad because it's Christmas time. And I began thinking, how can we help? One person cannot do very much. I did buy him a tent. I bought him some food. I did what I could at the time. Mark spoke about this earlier, because we feel guilty, don't we? We feel bad. And that's not why we should be doing this. But I did feel guilty. I did feel bad that I'm going to be having a great Christmas and this poor guy wasn't. But there must be something we could do as Christians in Mansfield. Don't underestimate our town. If Jesus made Nazareth a household name, we could put Mansfield on the map,
Amen.
So to speak.
Amen.
God could work marvelous miracles in Mansfield.
Amen.
But it is up to us. We are key to God's work in Mansfield. 2020 is coming up. What is our response to this baby Jesus who changed our lives for the better?
Hallelujah.
Our commitment to God is vital.
Amen.
Can we dedicate our lives to Him as He dedicated His life to us? We've got to think about this carefully, and maybe one day, very soon, come together as Christians in Mansfield. And we can resolve this. Because we are expecting the council to do it. We are expecting Boris Johnson to do it. When? When? It's not going to happen.